Let us pray. Dear Lord, you laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for us. Lord, so as we gather before you, we pray that we can hear you. Only you can speak to each one of us. Speak into our hearts, Lord. We want to meet you. We commit this time before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was supposed to come on February, and I prepared a message, which was 3 kinds of baptism. But due to COVID, I can't come, so now I continue. It's May now. I'm going to talk about 3 kinds of baptism. Can you, in your mind, can you think of there are any kind? Anyone? 3 kinds. Actually, I'm going to talk about... I'm controlling this. The baptism of John, and the baptism of Jesus, and the baptism of we Christians. You may say, well, it's just baptism. Yes, they are all baptisms, but it's different. And they have different meaning to us. So we think about this, and after all this, then we may think about, after baptism, how does it affect me and you? So many of us have already baptized. So we should look back and think about what does it mean to each of us. Okay, let's look at the baptism of John. But before we read the passage, let's put this question in our hearts. Now, who is John the Baptist? Why would God pick John the Baptist to do the baptism at that time? What is his role there? And let us look. In Luke chapter 1, 11 to 12, 17. Now, let's pay attention to the red words, but we continue to read them anyway. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing in the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah, who was the priest at that time, was troubled. When he saw the angel, he fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." This is John the Baptist. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." If we stop there, then we know, oh, he will be great. I must not drink wine or strong drink. So he is separated from all the other enjoyment, just dedicate himself for the Lord and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with Holy Spirit, very powerful, his life. Yeah, very powerful, but to do what? What is his role? And from there we can see, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." So his role is to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. Turn their hearts to the Lord. Where is your heart now? Is it to the Lord? The Israelites at that time, they are under Roman's government. Some of them may be suffering under. They may be people facing difficulties in their life. There may be people facing success in their life. They make a good living under the Roman Empire. How about you now? Where is your heart pointing to? If I If I talk Bible, that you may not find it interesting. You may be bored. But if I'm talking something, maybe fashion, maybe sports car, maybe sports game, maybe sports star, maybe movie stars, oh, suddenly you turn to that. But John's role there is turn these people, all these people's hearts, to the Lord. People may be there living in darkness. People there may be living in sin. People at that time may be living in outward religion. Oh, they go to worship every Sunday, like what we do now. Outwardly, you come to the meeting. Outwardly, you are religious. But your heart is not here. Where is your heart? John's role is turning people's heart back to the Lord. Is your heart focusing on your difficulties? I want to get that car. I want to get that job. I want to get that house. I want to get that girl. I want to get that. I want to get that. So many things appeared in our life. So many things substitute God in our life. And John's role is to turn people's hearts. And today my message to you is, baptism is about turning people's hearts to the Lord. You are not living for your comfort. You are not living for your success. You are not even living for your own dreams. You are living for God. I say this again. John, at that time, he's like the conscience crying out to the people. Maybe we can't hear our conscience speaking to us. We think everything is more important than God. But your conscience is crying to you. Just like John crying to the people at that time, turn to the Lord. What is your goal? What is your dream? What are you seeking today? A degree? A better house? A job? All this? You are not created for this, brothers and sisters. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. That's the message. To prepare the people. So what is John's message? What is the meaning of baptism from John? In those days, John the Baptist, he came out to preach in the wilderness, Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice, repent. Why? Is it judgment coming? Is it because of the hell? Is it because of the punishment of God? Because God is an angry God? No. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not threatening you, but telling you something good is coming. You need to change. Repent is changing your mind, changing your direction, changing your life focus. Just now I talk about his role is turn to God. How do we turn to God? We have to change. Oh, before that, I think success in life is important. Enjoyment in life is most important thing. I'm seeking the joy. I'm seeking the fame. I'm seeking the glory this world can offer me. But now I change my mind. This is repent. I think the Greek word, I don't know Greek, maybe Angela can help. Metanoia, something like that. Change of mind. Change of your thinking. Change of your direction in life. Repent is your whole direction change. Because there's something good God prepared for man. The kingdom of heaven. If you ask people from Ukraine, Look, the Germans, not Germans, the Russians bombed our country. No more, there's no building standing here anymore. Where can we go? Can you offer me? I'm not just asking for a safety place. I want to find a good place. If someone offered, you can come to Australia. You can come to the United States. Well, for them, oh, good. I don't have to stay in this ruined Ukraine. I can go to a better place. So for them, there's a better place to go. It's not just being safe from the bomb. It's not just being safe from the Russians. It's about we can go for a better place. Why do we have to repent? Because there's something good for us God prepared. Return to the Lord and God has prepared a kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. It's near. It's for us. Are you prepared for the kingdom? Some of you learn driving from me, isn't it? You are prepared a technique to drive so that you can survive, so that you can get a job, you can drive to your job, drive to somewhere. You prepare yourself for the future. If I ask you, how do you prepare for the kingdom of God? You prepare to go to uni. You prepare, you go to coaching school. You prepare for life. You learn English. You learn mathematics. You try to be good. But how do you prepare for the kingdom? And let's go on. This is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John is prepare the way for the Lord and prepare people's heart for the coming of the Lord. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair, leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the religion about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him into the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, confessing their sins, this is the way. I shouldn't live like that any longer. This is wrong. Confessing their sins. I need to change. So I feel many of us have not changed enough. Yes, I was a sinner. But have you changed and prepared your life for the kingdom of heaven? Have we changed enough to turn to the Lord and living for God's kingdom? Turning from sin is the negative part, but living for God, living for the kingdom is the positive part. You may say, I don't sin anymore. Good. But do you do the right thing? Are you preparing yourself for the kingdom? People confessing their sin. So John, the message is about the negative part, many confessing their sins. So I skip that and jump to verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand. When he comes in the future, his winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will clear his threshing floor and gathers his wheat into the barn. One day Lord Jesus will come and gather his wheat, the one with life in it, into the barn. But the chaff he will burn without unquenchable fire. Do you have life in you? Or your whole life is just like the outer shell, no life in it, just like the chaff. He will burn with fire. You may be a very successful, very happy sinner. You enjoy your whole life, but in the end, burn. We may suffer a lot, but if our life, there's life in us, there's wheat into the barn. This is preparing for the kingdom. Think about your life. Don't waste your time here. My message is for you today. You are just caring about the chaff. how people look at you, how successful you are today, how you enjoy life today, or you think about in the future, in God's kingdom. Do you have what you have? Do you have life to enter God's kingdom? Now, there's another baptism. Jesus' baptism is so different. Why did Jesus go to baptize? Did he only sinners? Because baptism is telling people, we sinners have to turn to God. We sinners have to confess our sin. But Jesus is the perfect man. Why did Jesus go to baptize? And as Jesus baptized, there was a voice from heaven. And why? What was that message? Why was that related? Why did God broke his silence, broke his peace? Suddenly, he said something there. What is that? Must be very important. If someone holds his tongue for a long time, keep silence for a whole time, and suddenly he speaks something, that is very important. So when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice from heaven saying something important. Why did that? What was that message? Why did that come? So when we look at the Matthew chapter 3 about Jesus' baptism, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. You are so holy. John knows that. Jesus is totally different. He is a perfect man with no sin. Why do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Why would Jesus say to fulfill all righteousness? Okay, but let's go on first. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So the two red portions answer the questions there. Why did Jesus baptize? To fulfill all righteousness. It is right to do so. Why would a sinless Savior baptize? Because he has to be, we use the word, identify with us. Baptism speaks of the whole person immersed under water. And that represents death. Why would the Lord of life go through death? He shouldn't die. He's God himself. Why was he made man, became flesh, and died? Why did Jesus come to die? It's a beautiful story, I would say. I don't know if you have watched the movie. I'm not encouraging people to watch movie, but that movie has a very famous phrase people remember. You jump, I jump. Do you remember this? That speaks of, I can't remember who said, but I know this phrase. If you die, I die. If you jump into the water, I will jump, I will follow you. So this is when sinners have to face death. What would the Savior do? When you go through death, I will go down with you to meet us there. Let me ask you, if you are walking with your good friends and pass by a hole on the ground with lots of fertilizers or human dung, feces in it, because in China, people in the rice field, they keep the fertilizer there, which is human dung. If you walk by, or your friend fell into the hole, what would you do? I'll go for, try for help. No. Too late. Would you go down and pick him up? Enoch, would you? Who is your best friend here? Okay.
Enoch.
Yeah.
Probably Caleb.
Oh, okay, Caleb. Okay, if Caleb fell into a pool of dung, would you reach out to him?
Oh,
you have to think about it. Right. Would you, you die there, you are in trouble, would you dare to go in? Too smelly. If there's a house burning in fire, even your close one, even your family, even your beloved one is in the house burning with fire. He's suffering, he's crying. Would you run into there?
Oh, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Fire, you would? You are brave. Now, this is what happens. When sinners are facing death, a sinless Savior, he shouldn't face the punishment, isn't it? But he's willingly come down. Come into the fireplace. Covering us in his by his own self. The fire burned him. He suffered for us to keep us, to give us life. So this is why he has to go through death. This is why Jesus baptized, to show that he identified with us. He's not judging us from there. You shouldn't sin. This is your punishment. No, he came down, came into our place, offer his life, die for us, to take us away from God's punishment. Because he suffered, now he can pull us out from the fire. So this is identifying with us. That's why Jesus has to go through death. That's why he baptized. He has to do this, because by going into the fire, by going into death, by baptism, he identified with us. He can reach out to us and deliver us and save us. But we may question, hey, maybe how do we know Jesus is perfect man? Maybe his death is for his own sin. Now we may challenge that. Everyone died, Jesus died. Of course, it's natural. Why would people say, no, he's innocent, he died for us? Unless someone testify for him, no, he's innocent. That's why the voice from heaven come up. This is my beloved son. He is not like you sinners, in whom I am well pleased. So God tells us that immediately. Yes, he identified. He died for you, but he didn't die for himself. He is a perfect man. He is my beloved son. So without verse 17, we can't tell. Everyone died. Jesus died. So, but unless God raised him from the dead and telling us that he is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. So the message from heaven telling us that Jesus, he died. He is a substitute for us. His death is not for his sin, but just to save us. He is God's beloved son. So this is different from John's baptism. The meaning there, the message there is different. Now, how about we Christians baptized? Many brothers here baptized. Why do Christians baptize? In Acts, it says to us, what's the difference between Christians' baptisms and John's baptism? Now, in here it says, and he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you can see there are three baptisms. In the beginning, John baptized people, telling them, turn to the Lord. There's a kingdom coming. But how can we go into the kingdom? Just repent, repent, and then what? The message was not complete. And then Jesus came. And Jesus died. And he resurrected. Now we know he was the chosen one. He is the one that substitute for us. We can he identified with us. He would say to us, you die, I die for you. You people need to face death, but I'm willing to die for you. This is Jesus said to sinners, you die, I die. I die for you. But in baptism, Christians say the same thing similar. You die, I die. You go through death, I join with you. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4 to 9, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. But with him, you see, baptism speaks of death, but going into the water means burial. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. So the water speaks of the death. Go into the water, buried. So when Jesus died, okay, how do I know you want to go to be with the Lord? How do I know you turn to, how do I know you believe in Jesus? I take a step. This step is, he died, I go into the water. To speak of my choice, I follow him. I identify with him. He died, I died. He died, he buried. I baptized because we were buried with him by baptism into death. So I think it's a beautiful picture. Jesus said, you die, I die. And we reply to the Lord, you die, I died. When you died on the cross, I died with you. I say goodbye to this world. I say goodbye to my old self. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So baptism, since we die, since we raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might. So it's not just Jesus have a resurrected life. We too, you too, might walk in newness in life. So that speaks of a new life in us. That speaks of a new character growing in us. Before, we lived like a beggar. Now, because of this new life, we changed. We should live like a prince. Do you think you live like a prince today after your baptism? Have you changed your lifestyle? Have we changed our lifestyle? Before I come to know the Lord, I speak, I think, my desire is just like all other people. They want money. They want fun. They want success. I'm just like them. I live a life of, in God's eye, like beggars. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. But when you can come to know Christ, your life changed. A newness of life. God's abundance in your life. My whole life is not seeking for money. My whole life is not seeking for pleasure. You can't buy me with this. If there's no God, who offer me more money, I will do whatever you offer. I will do anything you ask if you give me money. I am a beggar. But now, because I know Christ, I have receiving a kingdom before me. Now you can't buy me with money. You can't buy me with pleasure. I'm a prince in God's eye. I live like a prince, walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him. My old history, my beggar life, all the sin I've committed, all the wrong direction I'm going on, stopped, crucified in him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we will no longer be enslaved to sin. You can say no to anger. You can say no to jealousy. You can say no to greed. You can say no to lust. You can reject it, because we are no longer enslaved to sin. God doesn't take away your choice. You can still, today, you have a life of prince in you, but you can still face. No, I still want to live like a beggar. I go that way. No, I shouldn't live like that. Lord, thank you for giving me a life of a prince. I would follow this way. You can choose. God did not take away. You would choose that. No, you have still to make a choice. You are not enslaved to sin. But you have to choose to live like a God's people. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Are you still in bondage in sin? Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. So, look at this. We can walk in newness. We have been united with him in a death. And our old self was crucified with him, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. This is what's baptism about. Baptism is telling people, I can now start a new life in Christ. So after baptism, so many of us are already baptized. Now, how do we live? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So this put on Christ is the new life. So don't stop there. We have to make progress. So after you baptize, how do you put on Christ? Do you know how to devote yourself to God? Do you know how to sing praises to him? I expect we make progress. We are not just gathering here on Sunday, listening to some message and then go home. No. When we gathered, every time I come, we should all be different from last time. I'm glad that someone picked some song just now. I'm expecting some of you can grow and really know how to pray. Say, 4 years ago, many of you don't know how to drive. But 4 years later, so many of you now know how to drive. You are making progress. 3 months ago, you may not know how to pray. 3 months ago, you may not know how to offer your praise to God, sing to God, read Bibles. But after 3 months, are you making progress? I'm challenging you. It's not easy to sit here, sorry. I'm challenging you. Are you growing? Are you making progress after baptism? Do you know how to pray? Can you hear the word? Can you hear the Holy Spirit in you talking to you? Can your life be in harmony with the Holy Spirit? That's a sign of growth. I hope we are growing in Christ. Baptism is not the end. Baptism signifies the beginning. God expects us to grow. And are we preparing ourselves for the kingdom? You know, in eternity, everyone knows how to praise God. Praise God. Sing to God. We can start learning today, isn't it? Prepare ourselves for the kingdom. And not only that, after baptism, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, boys or girls, men or women, we were all made to drink of one spirit. Now, I want to point this out, into one body. So, this is not just a gathering of people listening to some people giving lectures, teaching. Brothers and sisters, we are one body. This is our relationship. It's not a preacher or an audience. We are brothers and sisters. We are one body. What does it mean by one body? This hand serves this hand. This hand cares for this hand. We should love one another. As we gathered, is there a body life here? Or I just come, learn something and go? This is not a school. We come here not just to learn. We come here to share our lives with one another. We were made to drink of one spirit. What Christ has given you, a song, some words, some encouragement, it's not just for you. It's for you to share with brothers and sisters. It's to give every cell in the body. It's not just living by his own. Do not live like a cancer cell, just ticking, absorbing, ticking, absorbing. Your life in the body is to give and serve. When you come, no one talk to me, I want to talk to no one. This is not body life. When you come, you care. You try to connect with people. You try to show your love. You try to support. And you need people to support you as well. Because you are weak. I am weak. This is a body. We need to. God wants us to support, help, encourage one another. This is body life. This is the family life. People attending some service like a religion, going to hear something and go home. No, this is not body life. If you look at the Acts, we can see the church, how the people need one another, help one another. So I hope this gathering in Kellerville, look around the brothers and sisters around you. Try to know one another. Try to connect to one another. Try to care for one another. Have time, spend time with them together. Try to know them. Appreciate them. I know a brother who came from a very different background from me. When I talk to him, I try to understand. I feel how he grew. He shared to me about his history, his struggle, his failures, his sadness. I try to feel. I try to connect. He's not just one of my listeners. He's my brother. I care about him and he cared about me. I pray for him. He prayed for me. This is the body life. So after baptism, it's no longer you. After baptism, it's not just you alone. You are no longer alone. God put you somewhere. Where? In a body. Don't live an isolated life. No Christians can live an isolated life. We need a body life. May God teach us to live a body life. After baptism, it's no longer you. After baptism, no longer alone. Live a body life. Learn and grow together. This is my message. You hear that? After baptism, you are no longer you. You are no longer alone. Live for God. Growing together. Live a body life. Care about one another. Get to know one another. Support one another. And serve. You have, each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us, God has given you gifts. No one can replace you. No one can say you are not important. Everyone is important. Every cell in the body is important. Live a body life. Don't grow just like a cancer cell. Live and serve one another. May God help us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that by baptism, we are now united with you. And now we are no longer enslaved to sin. We can walk in the newness of life. Lord, help us to put on Christ. Help us to live a body life. Help us to care and love and serve one another in Christ. You want a body. Lord, teach us to live like a body and manifest a body, the body of Christ here. God, we ask you to bless us. Help us to testify what you have done in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.